Mercy and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 4. I read for you again these words. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Such was not the Israelites' problem. As they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they grumbled and complained about many things, including being thirsty. Though God had constantly provided for them, they were never satisfied. You see, their physical wandering was symptomatic of their spiritual wandering. Instead of trusting in God for all good things and being thankful for all that He provided for them, they grumbled against Him. They simply did not trust God and His word and promise. They were physically thirsty, but they were even more spiritually thirsty than they even knew. Until they realized their real need, they would never be satisfied. Now, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar, he wanted to quench her thirst. But this was not about water for her body. He wanted to give her water for her soul. And so here he was in the midday heat. A woman comes out to draw water. He asks her for a drink. This takes the woman by surprise because she perceived that Jesus was a Jew and knew that Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Besides, a solitary woman coming to gather water at noon could mean only one thing. She was an outcast of sorts from the community in which she lived. Her past and her present separated her from everyone else. And so when Jesus asks her for a drink, he is beginning to arouse a thirst in her. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now this is puzzling. Jesus had asked her for a drink, and yet he says he would have given her living water. Where was he going to get this living water from? The well was deep, and Jesus apparently had no way to draw from the well. She did not understand what Jesus was talking about because she did not know who he was. But this was definitely going to change. So Jesus answers, "Everyone who drinks this water, that is water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And he's got her attention now. With this kind of water, she wouldn't have to keep coming out to this well day after day. She wouldn't have to bear the heat of the day to draw water and carry it home. So naturally, she's interested. Who wouldn't be? But still thinking of earthly matters, she said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Just as Nicodemus did not understand when Jesus had said, "You must be born again," so she did not understand about the higher matters of which Jesus talked. She was only interested in the here and now. And it seems that she had only heard the first part of what Jesus had said. She had only heard the part about not being thirsty again. And that sounded great. And so it was that Jesus was creating a thirst in her, but she wasn't yet ready for the water he offered. And so he tells her, "Go and call your husband and come here." And when she said that she did not have a husband, Jesus replied, "You're right when you say you don't have a husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Jesus was creating a deep thirst in this woman for which he alone could quench. With his words, he laid bare her secret. With pinpoint precision, he cut to the heart of the matter, her sin. While she then perceived that he was a prophet, she seems to want to change the subject, trying to divert attention away from her and her sin to a discussion about worship locations. Where should it be done? The Samaritans said Mount Gerizim, and the Jews say Jerusalem. And yet, perhaps she's not really changing subjects at all, but trying to figure out what she should do about her sin. She's trying to find out where she should go to worship. For if she worshiped at the right place, maybe everything would be okay. But Jesus answers her inquiry by stating that true worship of God is not limited to a certain location. Rather, true worship of God is to accept the gift he offers. True worship of God is to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. True worship of God is to drink the living water of forgiveness and eternal life. True worship of God is not a matter of where, as much as it is a matter of who. For Jesus is the true temple. Thus, true worship is done in spirit and truth. To this, the woman confesses her faith in the coming Messiah. When he appears, he will explain everything. Her thirst had been increased to the point where she was dying of thirst and craved for relief. And then Jesus quenches that thirst with the words, I who speak to you am He. He is the Messiah promised in the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, the scriptures of the Samaritans. He's the living water welling up to eternal life. With the forgiveness of her sins, her thirst was quenched. She now knew who had asked her for a drink. She knew her Savior. And she knew the living water which gave her life. And so it is that Jesus gives us living water too. He wants this water to become in us a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. But if we have no thirst, if we have no desire to drink, we have no use for such water. So through the preaching of the law, our Lord creates a thirst in us that we can't satisfy. Through the preaching of God's commands and requirements, He creates a thirst in us to do something about our sin. Yet, try as we might, we can't do anything about it. Try as we might, we cannot keep from sinning because it's our very nature to sin. Try as we might, we can't do anything to make up for our past sins or to make things right. And indeed, God knows our need better than we do. He knows our sin, that which we hide from others, and even that which we would hide from ourselves. He knows the sin we don't recognize or admit as sin. And when He confronts us with it, we become uncomfortable, thirsty, and maybe angry. But yet, too often, we try to quench that thirst ourselves with something other than living water. The only problem is we can't quench our thirst through our own efforts. The more we do try to satisfy our thirst, the less satisfied we become, and our thirst increases. In His love, God confronts us with our sin, not to condemn us, but to make us for the thirsty water that He would give us in Jesus Christ. He wants to give to each of us living water welling up to eternal life. He wants each of us worshiping upon His mountain. He wants us bathing in His water, eating from His nail-pierced hands, and drinking from His riven side. For the one offering such living water is the one who gave Himself for you upon the cross. He's the one who suffers thirst beyond measure as He hangs on the cross, bearing your sins and the sins of the world. He gives Himself so that you would know without doubt that your sins are forgiven. He gives Himself so that your sins can't hurt you anymore and you don't have to keep them a secret. You can do exactly what the woman did. You can confess them and Jesus forgives them. If you're not thirsty, water doesn't mean much to you. Thus, the more you know your sin, the more you will thirst for Jesus and what He has to offer. For He promises, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, He says, "He who believes in Me shall never thirst. In Isaiah 55, God invites us, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." And so that there's no doubt about the abundance of the living water, we hear again Jesus say, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And thus Jesus invites us to drink of him, the life-giving water. That is, he invites us to believe and to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Yes, as important as the water is to the body, such that without it, we will certainly die, even more important is Jesus to the soul, such that without him, we will die eternally. Without this water called Jesus, we die in our trespasses, our iniquity, our guilt, our thirst. But with this water, this living water, which Jesus pours out in abundance in a never-ending stream, we have life. And we have it abundantly. God grant that each of us thirst for that living water and drink of it often, so that the thirst of our souls would be quenched and well up to eternal life. To him be the glory. Amen.